May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. My name is Reverend Dr. Christopher Carter, and I am the lead pastor of The Loft. I want to welcome you today to Westwood United Methodist Church's Fall Festival. Yes, you should clap. We are so excited to have you all here today to have a combined worship service with the sanctuary and The Loft to really discern and discuss the combined gifts that we have as a worshiping community, and then to think critically about how we might actually use these gifts as we go into the world doing the work that God has called us to do. We are a conversational community in this space. And so basically what that means is usually throughout the service, there will be 1 to 2 opportunities, there's going to be 2 today, for us to be in dialogue with each other to discuss the ways in which the topics we're discussing, the conversations that we're having, and the themes that are present in this space reflect on our own personal understanding of the sacred and the ways in which the sacred has revealed itself to you. This comes from this position, this recognition that I know I don't have everything, I don't know everything about God, that God continues to speak to each of every you in unique ways, and that there are critically important ideas, critically important ways of experiencing the world that can be shared, that can enrich us all. So it's an opportunity for us to really engage in that kind of conversation. We are also a community that welcomes all people, regardless of race, class, gender, sexual orientation. We want you to know that you belong in this space. We want you to feel as though you belong in this particular space in this community. So this week, combined, we are continuing a worship series that we started in The Loft a few weeks ago. Typically, it's called Loft 101, but today we're calling it Westwood 101. We're talking about a theme and a value that I think really gets at the core essence of who we are as a community together. There are 4 fundamental values that we draw from the teachings of Jesus that inform how we practice Christianity and inform how we practice that way of living out our call to be Christians in this world. And those values are compassion, decolonization, conversation, and belonging. And so today, the value that we're going to be discussing and exploring really is belonging. This is a particularly special occasion to think about the importance of belonging within the context of our community, because it is our fall festival and we're having this combined worship service. All of us, I'm sure, believe and recognize we have a core group of people whom we feel a particular kinship with. Jesus was no exception to this feeling, right? Jesus had his disciples, he had Mary and Martha, and any number of other people that we know probably hung out with Jesus that we just don't have recorded. In a world that prioritizes individualism, as followers of the religion of Jesus, we are called to seek out and cultivate communities to which we can belong. We are called to model our own community building, our own relationship building after that which we see Jesus modeled in the Gospels. And this is difficult in this particular day and age. This is really difficult, whether it is the pandemic that literally forces us to be separate from each other because of disease, whether it is racial terrorism that gives us these ideologies rooted in fear that we can't be around people who look different than us, or perhaps it's the fight for bodily autonomy where we have to preserve our own safety. We feel like we need to isolate ourselves from others. We know that as people of faith, we must work towards creation of beloved communities for our own survival. And so the question that I want to pose for you as we begin to move towards worship today is, what does this look like for us in this space as a community? What does it look like for us to create a beloved community at Westwood? What does it mean for us to belong to one church and express that belonging in two separate ways, in the sanctuary and in the loft? How do we experience and express that belonging? And how do we bring others along so they too might find within us a community to which they can belong? These are just some of the questions that we're going to be discussing today. So I invite you to be open to the movement of the Spirit as we engage today's worship service.
I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, the senior pastor here at Westwood Church, and it's such a joy to be gathered in this space together with you. And if this is the place where you gather most Sundays, I hope you already feel welcome. And if this is your first time in here, I hope you feel welcome as well. One of the challenges of a Sunday morning where we've combined a bunch of folks that don't normally worship together and who normally worship in different styles is that everyone feels a little uncomfortable, right? So we've attempted to add some like handholds along the way so that everyone feels like it's going to be okay. We've printed worship guides. If you're the kind of person happier with something printed in your hand, they're by both of the doors, but it'll also be on the screens if this feels too constraining and like you're tied down. We have coffee that you can drink and enjoy in the loft. It's normal to get up and move around in the midst of the service. It's not rude. And it's normal loft culture to applaud after a song as a celebration of enthusiasm for the Holy Spirit. It's weird in the sanctuary. But we're all here today, and there's no wrong way to come to God and together as community. A new ordinary part of our loft worship is that we take a few moments at the beginning of worship for something we call community care. The loft likes to say that we're more than just Sunday friends, which is certainly true of the culture of our sanctuary congregation as well. And some of you who've been around for lifetimes and generations know how your lives have been knit together with the lives of other friends and family from church. So we take a minute at the beginning of worship to check in with each other. And this is not only to check in with the people we know, but especially on a day like today, to check in with someone you might not know, to greet them, learn their name. We're sort of most of the chairs are filled, so we've pulled over some extra chairs. If you've got space at your table to add another chair, maybe you want to bring one in and then welcome someone to sit with you. My friend Pat taught me this trick. When you feel like a little bit of an outsider in your group, if you invite new people to join, then you're an insider. Because as far as they know, you've always been on the inside. So this is your opportunity to be your table or couch's insider and welcome someone else to join you as we belong in this space. So we're going to take 4 or 5 minutes. You can get coffee, rearrange yourselves, say hello, and greet the people around you. And I'm excited to talk about belonging, Dr. Carter. I feel like, for me, one of the things that's most tended to make me feel like I belong is when I know the routine. It's the friends' houses where I know their kitchen and I can just help load the dishwasher at the end of the meal. And so it feels weird to talk about belonging today when no one quite knows how this is all going to fit together. We're bringing together these different...
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I think one of the question that we wanted to kind of at least begin conversation is thinking about what's the difference between welcome and belonging. And I think as someone... So I grew up moving a lot, every year, because... At the time, I just thought my mom liked to move a lot. I was like, oh, we just like new spaces. I don't know. Come to find out, we just couldn't afford to keep paying the rent, right? So we kept having to get relocated every year. And so I had to make new friends all the time. And so routine, I began to get familiar with the routine of something new and to find comfort in that. And what I think I realized for me is so much about feeling like I belong in a space is the spirit with which I was invited in. Mm. Like that kind of, I was able to really, I think, begin to sense vibes, to use a very popular term, because the routine for me wasn't always as consistent as I would have liked it to be. But I mean, I'm just curious about what are some of your thoughts about some of the distinguishing factors between welcoming and belonging?
I think about how sad it is, how heartbreaking it is when you feel like you've been welcomed into a space, but then you hit some point at which you're no longer welcome to be your full self in that space. I think of the danger of like churches in our U.S. American context in particular, where we say we're welcoming to all, but then you hit some point where, but we won't let you be in leadership. That's certainly true for LGBTQ folks in many places, for women in places, and also just for people who make us like uncomfortable for whatever reason, people who are different. There's some limit, some like expectation of you're welcome, but as long as you like, fit in, not you're welcome, sort of, to really belong and to like bring your specialness, weirdness.
Well, I mean, I think to an extent, the word I really appreciate you use the word when you hit your limit, because I think one of the challenges we have is recognizing that we all have limitations, right? That's the beauty of what it means to be human. Right. And so for women, for many years, right, there's this limitation that's projected upon women that, you know, women are emotional and, you know, and can't be in leadership because of that. And that's, you still will hear that rhetoric
played out.
Stay
very calm as you say that.
Exactly. Or anyone that knows me knows, I mean, that just, you know, that's just how I roll. I mean, I'm very deeply passionate. That's what my other people I've talked to said. I'm very, very passionate. But I think that recognizing and accepting limits as a part of being human, rather than thinking that the limitations we have are, or not seeing them as limits and saying this is what it means to be fundamentally one of us, right? Accepted, normal, in the norm. And that to me presents one of the difficulties, right? Of distinguishing between welcome and belong, because many people are saying, well, you're only welcome if you conform to this particular kind of standard, a way of being, a way of worshiping, a way of thinking, a way of acting, rather than allowing you to actually embrace the sound of the genuine within you.
Right, and clearly there are limits to welcome in a space. Like my expectation is if you're harming other people, you're not, like there have to be barriers to protect the community, and especially its most vulnerable, right? Like you can't say overtly racist things and remain on the city council. Like these are limits that we understand.
Well, I think at this point only one of them has resigned though, right?
That's right.
And that's the woman, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So then again, we get to again this notion of limits, right?
Right.
Who's allowed and actually wants to hold themselves accountable for actually abiding by the boundaries that we think are actually just versus those who think that they get to set the boundaries or those boundaries don't particularly apply to them, right? And so, there has to be limitations. And I think the challenge we have as people of faith really begins, you know, how do we overcome the challenges when that either that harm has been done, or how do we overcome the challenges of just the everydayness of dealing with our differences, right? Yeah, you know, one of the things I talked to my students about when I was teaching at University of San Diego, and I would ask them to draw this map of their friend group and then to categorize their friend group however they wanted to. And they began to realize most of their friends are pretty much just like them. And some of this is there's lots of reasons why that is, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But some of that is intentionally done through structure, through history of segregation, by race, by class, by gender. All these things are done in to make it more difficult for us to begin to develop authentic relationships across difference. And so this, I think, is a part of the challenges that we have, not only just on everydayness, but particularly what we have even here at the Loft.
That's right.
Westwood, I should say. Westwood.
Right?
See, Loft just popped up in my head, but at Westwood.
I've been helped by the Brené Brown's work on belonging, and she talks about this kind of deep belonging, which she contends that the opposite of belonging is fitting in, which is an interesting idea, because it opens up this space where we acknowledge that belonging isn't about just like passing as the same as, but it's about a way of belonging, way of being together that allows you to be authentic to your deepest self. I'd love to share some words she wrote in Braving the Wilderness about belonging. She says that it's important to belong to ourselves, first of all, and that belonging to ourselves means being called to stand alone, to brave the wilderness of uncertainty, vulnerability, and criticism, and with the world feeling like a political and ideological combat zone, this is remarkably tough. We seem to have forgotten that even when we're utterly alone, we're connected to one another by something greater than group membership, politics, and ideology. She says, we're connected by love and the human spirit. And we're going to need to intentionally be with people who are different from us. We're going to have to sign up, join, and take a seat at the table. We're going to have to learn how to listen, have hard conversations, look for joy, share pain, be more curious than defensive, all while seeking moments of togetherness.
Mm.
I found that rich. That's like, for me, the gift of church. I've said this a lot of times, so apologize if everyone's sick of this. But I think one of the great gifts of church is that we are with people that we would not be with, except that we're a church together. And we don't just like tolerate each other or put up with each other, but we're expected to see God more clearly because we're in relationship with each other. And that's just a this group of people would not be in what other place would we all be together? And what a gift that is to have a generous space in which to be together.
If this was the South of the Midwest, I would say a football game would be the only place you would see this many people together.
But then there is a very definite other.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There is. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, as you well know, Nebraska, I mean, like, you have this, I think Nebraska represents, for those of you who don't know, Nebraska football has, like, the reputation of being one of the most, like, friendliest, kindest.
We're good people.
You're very good people in Nebraska. Very good people in Nebraska. Welcoming people when they come. But there's this sense of a coming together that you don't really find in a lot of other places. What I find particularly interesting about what you said, Molly, is before you even got to Brene Brown, you said a word that really struck with me. You said about distinguishing between fitting in and belonging, about, you used the phrase passing. And it really brought to mind the ways in which, within my tradition, right, growing up as a Black person, the ways in which there is this coded way of fitting in. Mm-hmm. And it is, especially if you're light-skinned, or especially if you could, and for those of you who don't know what I mean by passing, are those folks who were light-skinned, and light-skinned enough to where people couldn't quite tell what race they were, racially ambiguous, they might say. And so they could perform whiteness to fit in, but they never belonged in that group. Mm-hmm. And to an extent, many of us, I think, can find ourselves in that same position. We perform a certain way, but we don't, it's to fit in, but we don't belong. You can perform a certain kind of Christianity to fit in, but have this tension inside. He says, well, I don't belong in this space. Right. And I think this passing, to me, is really at the crux of what it means to just distinguish between welcome and belong. Because if we get fixated on passing just to be a part of a community, but we don't belong to that community, eventually our soul is going to just run dry. Like, something is going to be missing there that we need to feel sustained. And so how do we create spaces for people? Because it's not like these people wanted to pass, or, you know, they wanted to be themselves, but they feel like this is the only way they could survive. So how can we create spaces where we feel like we can belong and allow people to be themselves so that they can flourish? Yeah. I mean, that is, to me, really powerful. And building on some of the stuff that Brene Brown said.
I know we're going to get to scripture before our next conversation, and I feel like in our scriptural tradition there's some help at navigating this. But I just want to, like, be sure we say out loud, I think it's important to remember that our belonging is God-given, and our failure to live faithfully toward belonging as humans and in human communities and institutions in no way shifts God's giving of belovedness and belonging to everyone. Like, we're in control of how we behave as humans and communities, but God's gift of affirming that you belong, that everyone belongs, is God-given.
100%, and I think one of the ways in which we talked about a few weeks ago, or this our summer sermon series was all about love, and we talked about sin, in this sense, as a failure to love. Yeah. So this, to me, sin is as you're describing it, or I guess to kind of go along with what you're saying, is a failure to acknowledge that belongingness. Like, it just is a fundamental just decision to say, you are other, and that can create this hierarchy of power. One of the, so during this time of our service, we tend to just kind of open it up to have a conversation, and we really want y'all to tease out a little bit more of what we mean, to draw the distinction between welcoming and belonging. So the question, if we could put it on the screen here for a moment, so just give y'all about 5 minutes, and what we'd like to invite you to do is have a conversation with those people at your table about this question, just to discuss it and kind of see what comes up. Now, normally, if we have more time, what we would do is I would have a microphone and I would say, hey, what do you think about this, and have you contribute, but that may freak some of y'all people out, so we're not going to do that today. I know, see? Me as a performing professional teacher, I'm like, I love that. That gives me energy. But what I would love for you to do is just share among the people at your table. What's the difference between feeling welcomed within a community and belonging to a community for you? How might you define that? So spend 5 minutes in conversation before we move into our next.
And be sure to welcome someone who's around you that doesn't have a group to hook onto.
Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? If an ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one in the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of hearing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts. And I'm going to show you an even better way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're going in deep with body metaphors today.
Exactly. I know.
Imagining God's hands holding the whole world and imagining ourselves parts of a body. I love both of these images and marvel at how generous they still are to our theology today. And I especially love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. He's writing to a church that's increasingly diverse, where they're having to negotiate how to live together across barriers of culture and custom and language and religious practice to come together as a community. And this body metaphor just works
so
beautifully.
I think helps us understand in an embodied sense, but I think in a very literal way, what it means and some of the challenges of what it requires for us to work together. So I'm curious. So, you know, Pastor Molly liked this scripture and she wanted to choose it. So if you're wondering why you picked such a long scripture,
it's my fault.
It's her fault. Although I'm
but
don't
Quinn
like,
did
I don't,
such a good job reading
he
it.
He did a great job reading it. Quinn did a great job. So I'm curious, Molly. What are some of the themes that within this text that resonate with you that you think help us can kind of understand a little bit more about belonging?
I love how it helps us make sense of how it is that we do things differently, look differently, think differently, but are still one. Mm. I mean, when we talk about unity, when we talk about being one, it's so helpful, and I feel like it's such a needed
contribution to our understanding of who we are as a church and who we are as a congregation, who we are as Westwood Church. People who gather in children's ministry and in the loft and in the sanctuary include our grapplers and people who participate by live stream. Like, all of us may not even see each other, but we're still part of the same body. I think there's this temptation in, like, a cultural moment as people are less inclined to belong to organizations and institutions to see in them as somehow, like, externalized outside of ourselves, like corporations and institutions. And so we elect to participate in them or not. And this body metaphor reminds us that it's just us. Like, we are the body. It's, there's no ability to say that there, the church did something. I mean, sometimes we talk about the church institution, but at some essential level, the church is us, and we who belong in this congregation are the body, and are empowered to give what we have to contribute the unique and beautiful thing that each of us brings, but as a part of the body, not to an external existence that's not us.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, some of the challenges that come up, even with the ways in which you try to distinguish ourselves apart from the institutional church, right?
Right,
and I think
right.
that's a bigger challenge in terms of how we understand that,
maybe come back next
as
week.
Part of, yeah, yeah. Understand ourselves apart. One of the challenges, I think, of working through issues of structure is recognizing that we as individuals are a part of the structure,
right.
and yet some of the ideologies that form the structures do exist outside of us, right? There is this dynamic tension that's taking place.
I mean, it could, like, you can have an affliction in part of your body, an infection, a cancer, like, things grow in on our bodies that are, anyway.
Yeah, no,
that's another
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, so this is, you know, this is one of the ways in which I teach about structural inequalities,
yeah.
right? You know, when one of the challenges we have when we're talking about, like, issues of racism or sexism or ableism is we see it as existing out there. We're like, well, I'm not ableist. Not me. No. Just, you know, I happen to live in an ableist community, attend an ableist church, and my job doesn't really have any place for people with disabilities to access it. And no one at my job has any visible signs of disability. But clearly, I'm aligned on the
You're
side of
right.
You're
going to have to talk slower for those of us who don't hear well, Christopher.
Yeah. Essentially, I did that on purpose. But the point I was trying to make is that we can see how and the ways in which those structures of inequality exist out there. But we don't see ourselves as participating within those structures. And I think that is a huge challenge that we have to work through and overcome if we are going to actually see ourselves as a entire body that functionally works together. One of the things that come up for me in this passage is a few things, but one is the distinction between unity and uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of being unified to a particular kind of common cause and having us have gifts that we are all supposed to bring versus saying, okay, we all have to do the exact same thing believe the exact same thing.
In Paul's metaphor, it's like foolish to try to all do it in the same way, right? Like, we can't all be ears, or where would our sense of smell be? Like, some of us have to be noses, and, like, it's a really, like, playful image, but that conveys how deep that is, that it's not just surface language to say it's okay to be different, but, like, the functioning of the whole expects that we'll do things differently, that we'll bring different gifts and abilities and ways of...
The functioning of the whole not only expects it, it requires it to actually function.
Right.
We come into, we run into problems when we all, or when a group of folk, right now I'm thinking of a particular political organization or a particular political position, wants everyone to believe a certain thing, right? And if you do not believe this certain kind of thing or this particular way of being in the world, then you cannot actually be open to the full functioning of your body, right? You are necessarily limiting yourself for someone to join in and belong. Now, to an extent, I want to be clear too. This builds upon some of the natural tendencies of what it means for us to be human beings. And so, like, from an evolutionary science perspective, it is actually easier for us to surround ourselves with people who look like us, who think like us, who act like us. If we think about our brain's most important job is to essentially predict our energy needs so that we can use the energy we have efficiently. Like, that's how our species has survived, right? And so this is, so I'm not a neuroscientist, I should also say, I am borrowing this, or I'm talking in conversation with the work of neuroscientist Lisa Philman Barrett, particularly her book, 7.5 Lessons About the Brain, which is much more of a conversational text rather than some of her more academic literature. But essentially, there's a couple of things she notes that I think it's important for us, or at least that I kind of capture some notes I think might be helpful for us to understand why it is easy for us to fall into the trap of believing everyone has to be an ear or everyone has to be an eye. Essentially, because our brains work with other brains, we have socially dependent nervous systems. And so this helps us and hurt us. Socially dependent nervous systems mean that we connect with other people. It allows us to have a sense of community and a sense of belongingness. It allows us to actually develop empathy for each other, which is crucial for our survival. As a species, what distinguishes Homo sapiens from other varieties of humanoids was that our species actually had empathy for each other and took care of people when they got hurt. So when you have empathy for another, your brain literally predicts what they will feel and what they will do. So the more familiar you are with someone, the easier it is for you to have empathy with them, the more likely it is for you to have empathy with them and predict their struggles, right? And so it's difficult for our brains to be empathetic towards people we don't know. Metabolically speaking, it takes more energy for us to predict how they feel. So from a body budget perspective, it's safer and even easier for us to put ourselves in echo chambers. Like, so in a sense, the easy thing to do is for us to align ourselves with people who just think like us. And this is where I want to return to the text, because this is where I feel like Paul just nails it in just verse 12, where he says, or I'm sorry, verse 13, where he says, "We were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink." It is the spirit. It is the spirit that allows us to work through those inner struggles, to work through those tensions that naturally come up for us to be able to create community. We could not do this if it had not been for that intercession of God's love. And I think Paul eloquently captured it. It's like the Spirit has enabled us to work through these boundaries that we have put up, somewhat necessarily, for us to actually utilize the full capacity of our gifts as a people, as a church. And for me, that I think is one of the most powerful things in this passage, and it's part of the reason, for those of you who are up here when I perform Holy Communion, why I say that every time, because that's so crucial.
Yeah, and that I want to talk about gifts a little, because he ends this, I recognize the letter goes on to chapter 13 and we added the numbers later, but I'm going to say that he ends this section with a talk about the gifts that we have, about gifts of healing and leadership and the ability to help others and so on, that it's so important to be able to claim the distinctive gift that each of us brings to the whole. And I think as communities have pushed people toward uniformity, we push people to like fitting in, and we don't open up space for people to even acknowledge or own their gifts, the distinctive thing that no one could bring if that person wasn't bringing it. And it's such a gift when our particularities become like superpowers instead of obstacles to belonging or fitting in. And that's, I think, the challenge that's before us, is to recognize that. And I see so many hopeful signs of that happening in the world. I was listening to a Billy Porter interview recently where he talked about how he never expected to have this much fame as an artist and performer, and was told all his life that he was too queer, too black to be a performer. But now his identity has become a superpower that allows him to be something that no one else is, that he uniquely can and authentically can bring. In a world that conditions us to play down our differences or to pass as the same as the uniform vision of what we think a good Christian is, we have some work to do in terms of unearthing or revealing the gifts that have been there all along that maybe we saw as problematic, but actually are the thing most needed.
And I think I see that as the responsibility of those of us who are in positions of privilege and power to empower those, as Paul would say, the parts of the body that we might be most, I think he does the word, they use ashamed, or like try to, I can't remember the specific translation,
right.
But the parts of the body that we want to cover up, I think is a particular.
That aren't presentable.
Exactly. The parts of the body that are not presentable. And for me, this speaks to the importance of solidarity, right? The ways in which we are called to actually create relationships across difference and support one another. But this points to, and this is why I'm going to wrap up here a little bit, when you're talking about spiritual gifts, he ends by saying, and everybody knows chapter 13, the greatest gift is love. Mm. Like, this is what it means to practice the religion of Jesus. It is this embodiment of love in the world, of practicing love. And for me, as I thought about what it means to be in solidarity and what does it mean to empower those parts of ourselves that we want to cover, as he says, I thought about, it's funny, actually, I was talking to Ben the other day. It was funny. I was at your place, and we had the men's group the other night. And by no means am I old, but apparently my body's falling apart. And so I hurt my foot last year in January. I fell down. It's a funny story, but I'm not going to share it now. Anyway, I just literally fell down, hurt my foot. And it was my big toe. And my foot has not been right since. It's been 10 months.
It's just a toe.
And I'm like, it is literally just a toe. Why does my whole foot hurt?
Right.
Why when I wake up in the morning?
And
I'm like, it's insane. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So it struck me when I read this. I'm like, oh, like these sometimes, it's the small things, but it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
That it all actually matters.
Right.
That we have to tend to those small things so that all of us can, all the totality of us can flourish. And so I think one of one of the goals I think we have as a community at Westwood is to identify both the small things that we need to be in solidarity with, but also the gifts that we have to build up our community.
Yeah, I think one of the superpowers of our congregation is that we worship in different ways. And that, so that brings a humility that there's not one right way to come together as a community before God, but there are helpful ways. And we get to do that. We get to have the sort of beautiful transcendence of the sanctuary and the revelation that comes in conversation in human community in the loft and all the sort of nuance and difference that comes in those become a part of the whole of our community. And I don't know, it's not quite as vivid as when your toe hurts and the whole body hurts, but I also feel like when the toe's having a really good day, the whole body has a really good day, or when the masseuse hits that spot and like releases the knot, it's like suddenly, so like flourishing in any part of our body contributes to the whole, and there are so many places where I see life and beauty and gift and capacity to extend God's love and justice to a world in need that are true about who we are.
I haven't had a good day with this foot since January. But anyway, that's another conversation that I'm going to have with y'all soon.
We print a prayer list in the sanctuary worship guide.
It's like,
we're
going to
add
Lord Jesus.
Dr. Carter's toe to the prayer list.
It ain't right. So we do something in the law. We use this technology called Mentimeter. Now, those of you should have in your worship guides a QR code either scan, but we're going to put a question up on the screen here in just a moment. We really want to kind of build on this metaphor of gifts and the ways in which we might actually use these gifts or discern what our gifts are as a community. And so the question we want y'all to spend time answering in Mentimeter, and again, these are anonymous, so no one knows what you're writing, and you can, I think, submit up to three, perhaps, but maybe even more.
Keep going.
Yeah. So what are the gifts that you have heard about or witnessed within our church or our community? You really just want to know, what are the gifts that you feel like you've either seen, experienced, or heard about? And just as many as you can come up with. So spend a minute so people have a chance to participate.
If this technology is uncomfortable to you, you might look around, and if it's super comfortable to you, you might look around and see if there's someone looking a little bit lost and ask if you can type in an answer for them. You can enter many, so you can type in for a friend. We're going to segue from this entering of responses onto the screen to our next conversation at table. So we'll leave this up. If you're still logging on and want to enter things or think of something else, you can keep entering them. We're actually going to keep this open. If you're watching by live stream now or later, you can still add in more details. We'll keep this list going. But we also encourage you to have a conversation at your table about a question Dr. Carter is going to tell us about.
Yeah. So, again, for those of you who have the phone, after you type in your answer, you should be able to continue to see the answers other people are putting up. And so I encourage you to do that. The question we would like y'all to think about within your small groups is, given the gifts that were named, given the gifts that if you have the phone, I invite you again to log in to see the list of gifts, what might our shared future as a congregation look like? Right? How might we actually utilize these gifts, all the gifts that you see scrolling across this screen, to the betterment of building up the beloved community? So spend 5 minutes in conversation about that, and then we'll move into the music part of our worship.
Thank you all for being here, for those joining in this room and by live stream. I think this is the first time we've done, other than a Good Friday, this first Sunday morning live stream live from the loft. So thank you to our AV crew for making that work. Richard and Maureen, you're fabulous. And AJ and Josh. I hope that you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place and that it continues to remind you that you have already been given the great gift of belonging in the love of God, and nothing can take that away. And I hope you feel the gift and responsibility of being a part of this community and our responsibility for acknowledging our own gifts and appreciating them, acknowledge them, and celebrating them in others around us as together we seek to bear love and justice, compassion and grace to this place where we're located. May you abide in that call and delight in the gift of belonging together. Be in peace. Amen.